Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Due to a strong sense of patriotism and love for the freedom that our country affords, I joined the Army National Guard and found myself at Fort Benning, Georgia in March of 1985. Just a few months before signing my name on that dotted line, Lee Greenwood had come out with a song that he released called God Bless the USA. One of the lines from that song is, "For the flag still stands for freedom, and you can't take that, and they can't take that away." The flag still stands for freedom. Many of you here today have served in the military, some stateside, others across the globe. Some of you have seen battles, and others of you have seen war. Others have had friends or family that have served in the military. In one way or another, everyone here has been touched by the pursuit of freedom. We've all suffered loss. Those losses are painful. And we remembered them just a few weeks ago on Memorial Day. A week from tomorrow, we will celebrate our victories, our victory where we won freedom on the 4th of July. For 246 years, the men and women of our country have fought to preserve this freedom for America and for other countries throughout the world. Freedom is a gift that we have given to other nations, and there's no way that they could ever pay this back for us. For they would be trying to pay back death of our friends and family, and it would be insulting for them to try to monetize that. As Americans, we know freedom, but what we know is political freedom. And that's different from spiritual freedom. As spiritual freedom is a gift that Christ provided when he battled and won that death over sin, death, and the devil, and freed us from sin. We see people sometimes abuse political freedom, and sadly, sometimes we see people abuse or misuse spiritual freedom. We misuse spiritual freedom when we listen to the devil whisper into our ears as he tries to convince us that Christ's sacrifice was not enough. Sometimes the devil tells us we need to pay it back through our works. We hear it on the radio, we see it on TV, we experience it on the internet. Today these words can look like, you must do something and accept Jesus. Or it may sound like, we have to do work so that God will love us because we're sinners. And sometimes, sadly, it's a faithful follower of Christ who, as they near the end of their time on earth, question, have I done enough good so that God will love me? When we do this, we're saying that Christ's death was not enough, and we must do something more to get us kind of over the hump. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Christ's death was more than sufficient for all who trust in his promise. We misuse spiritual freedom when we make our freedom a law and believe that we must do something to earn our salvation. These laws become a yoke, and the yoke shows that we failed to trust the promise of Jesus. Our works cannot obtain or earn a right standing with God. Trying to earn grace cheapens the sacrifice of Christ. When we listen to the devil's whispers, we fail to trust God's promise, and we allow the devil to slide that yoke of slavery back over our neck. Martin Luther was right. We are saved by grace through faith out of no merit of our own, but purely for the love of God. In our text today, the Galatians had a similar problem. Paul had planted this church in Galatia on an earlier trip. The church is made up of Jewish followers of Christ, and it's made up of Gentile followers of Christ. And what was happening is that Jewish followers of Christ were trying to get the Gentile followers of Christ to follow all the laws of Judaism. Without mincing words, Paul reminded the Galatians that Christ had set them free and told them not to return to a yoke of slavery. Paul was not talking about political freedom here. He was talking about spiritual freedom. What the church in Galatia had failed to realize is that by following these traditions of Jewish law, they would be putting the yoke of slavery back on them, in rejecting the gift that Christ had given them. They would be trying to earn it themselves. Now, many of you here know what a yoke is, but there are some people who may not. A yoke is like a beam that goes across the neck of cattle, and then there's like a ring on either side, and this beam has two holes through it. There's a hoop that goes underneath the cattle's neck or the oxen's neck, and it pokes up through that beam, and then it's attached there. Whatever the master attaches to these big metal rings is a burden that this ox must pull or bear in order to earn its keep and stay on the farm. It may be a cart, it may be a grist mill where they walk round and round, a plow, or any number of things. Another thing to keep in mind with the yoke is the cattle cannot remove it themselves. Only the ox, only the master can remove the yoke from their neck and set them free. Christ set all of our people free by canceling the requirements of the law and removing the yoke. But their lack of trust in Christ's promise that his death was enough caused the Galatians to misuse the spiritual freedom and believe that they must do something. When misused, spiritual freedom can become spiritual slavery. The Galatians did not understand that if people submitted to works of the law, they were not exercising freedom, but they were trying to exercise control, and they were failing to trust the promises of God. Paul knew that this abuse of their spiritual freedom would make them believe that they had earned part of their salvation. This abuse of spiritual freedom would mean that they did not fear, love, and trust God above all things, but they were trusting in themselves. Paul provided simple instructions to the Galatians about spiritual freedom. He said, Christ, through his victory over death, had removed the yoke of slavery to the law from the Galatians' necks. Both Jew and Gentile believers were free from the law, and Paul warned them to avoid becoming slaves again. By using the image of a yoke, Paul was showing the Galatians that if they tried to please God by fulfilling the law, they were not trusting in his promise, and they were giving up the spiritual freedom which Christ had won for them. Due to original sin, we were all born slaves to sin, and we cannot remove that yoke of slavery ourselves. Only the master can set them free, but a free person can become a slave by rejecting that freedom that Christ has provided. We see this too often in the world. Christ has removed our yoke of the law and freed them all. Nothing else need to be done. Christ has accomplished everything. Later in the text, Paul then explains to them that those who have been freed by Christ are free to bear the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, patience, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. He told the Galatians there's no law against these things. That means they don't have to do this, but they're allowed to do this. Out of their freedom, out of their spiritual freedom, they can bear these gifts of or these fruits to one another in love. What the Galatians were getting wrong was that through their actions, they cannot obtain righteousness or a right standing before God, but through Christ's actions, they already have obtained righteousness. They had been freed by Christ and given spiritual freedom, and with the freedom, they were to trust the promises of God. They were free to show the love of Christ in them to others. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we likewise have been freed by Christ's death and resurrection. Jesus removed our yokes of slavery to the law. Like the Galatians, we need to understand that spiritual freedom is a freedom to follow Christ and trust his promises of God, freedom to show love to one another. Like oxen, we could not remove our own yoke of slavery. We had to have the master do that, and he did with his death and resurrection. We have been declared righteous before God because of Jesus' victory. There is nothing that any of us can do to earn this. It's because of Christ's victory that we are not called cattle, we're not called slaves, but we're called children of God. We're called heirs to the throne of the Creator. You are loved by God. Like Galatians, we need to follow Paul's simple instructions and not submit again to a yoke of slavery. What does it look like when we trust God's promises? It means that we have faith to trust that Christ's death and resurrection was enough. It means that we trust God, that we no longer are under the law and need to do works to merit favor. It means that we are free to love one another as Christ first loved us. Paul tells us what it looks like when we love one another. It looks like joy. It looks like the joy that Christ had, that even though he came down from heaven, was incarnate as a child, lived life as a human, suffered and died on the cross and rose again. Even though he suffered all that, he had joy knowing that he had freed all of us for all time from the slavery to sin. We likewise can experience joy when we help those who cannot help themselves, when we show that love of Christ that's inside of us to one another. We can also bear the other fruits of the Spirit. But it's not because we have to, but because we're able to, because of the love that Christ has placed inside of us. It's the joy of knowing that you've been used by the Holy Spirit to show the love of God to someone else. Is there anything better? Ask yourself. Is there anything better than being used by God to show his love to another? Because of the spiritual freedom, we can go forth in joy loving one another. Next week, we'll celebrate our country's 246th anniversary of freedom. Political freedom for that 246 years, it's been a nice run. But keep in mind, bear in mind, God's run for spiritual freedom is eternal. And we can celebrate that every day instead of once a year on the 4th of July. Experiencing the joy of loving others is one way that we can celebrate our spiritual freedom. So show others the love of Christ that's within you. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen.